We welcome to the Gospel Spotlight Dr. Ellie Ricks. Dr. Ricks, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Mr. Ellison. Thank you for having me on your show.
It is a pleasure. The book, The Legacy of Manhood, Developing a Male into a Man. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Could I say maybe this book is long overdue?
Yes, I really do believe it's long overdue, but like Esther said in the Word of God, it's developed for at the time such as this. So I believe it's timely. Definitely something that all people could use, particularly mothers raising boys, grandparents raising boys, coaches, teachers, even ministers who minister to young men, both young and old. There's definitely something in Legacy of Manhood that can help them progress to higher levels in their life.
Is the reason why we in the African-American community have trouble with our young men is because of the lack of fathers in the home?
Absolutely. And what I would like to do is just reference one scripture that kind of is at the crux of Legacy of Manhood, and it's from Mark chapter 3, verse 27. It says, "But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." And basically, Legacy of Manhood is built on that particular scriptural principle. And because there's such a high incidence of father absenteeism in the African-American community, research has shown that it's above 65% of all African-American households are, you know, there's not a father or father figure in the home. So in essence, the strong man in the African community has been bound. And that also connects to the high incidence of our black men who are in prison. 40% of all prisoners in the country are African American. So when you compare that statistically with our total race representing only 11% of America's population, out of that 11%, 40% are incarcerated. That's staggering numbers. So it sets a cascading effect, and it impacts the academic achievement of not only young boys but female African American females in school, K through 12. So it has a residual effect that's taking our community by storm.
What can be done? Because, as you stated, a strong man is the leader and the backbone of his family. And if that strong man is not there, then what happens to the family?
Well, two things can happen to the family. One, you know, it's very easy to blame the absence of someone that plays such a pivotal position in the family, i.e. the father, or two, you can make adjustments. When I wrote Legacy of Manhood, it was dedicated to my father, Pastor Leroy E. Ricks Sr., who's the pastor of New Berean Baptist Church in Portsmouth, Virginia. He grew up very poor. He grew up without a relationship with his father, and he in turn produced three college-educated men, I being his middle son. And one thing he always told us when we were growing up, he said, my father being absent in my life has nothing to do with me being absent in your life. So my past it's not going to have anything to do with your future. So I think he was raised by a strong grandmother who had a third grade education, and she had a tremendous work ethic, and she didn't take no for an answer. She didn't allow you to blame your circumstance or your environment for why you couldn't achieve excellence. And it was because of the hand of this strong woman, strong black woman, he became a strong man. So because of the incidence of high father absenteeism, there's still not an excuse for young men not to be what God created them to be, and that is to be the leaders of their family. And by having a blueprint like Legacy of Manhood, it kind of creates a voice of a male in the life of young men that may not have had strong male role models.
Dr. Ricks, there's a chapter in your book called
Yes,
My
sir.
Name Is All I Got.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My name is all I got. Again, as I stated before, you know, we have to get back to the basics. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about a good name is to be chosen over rubies. And as we see in some of the media, some of the music industry is glorifying having a lot of materialistic things at any cost. So getting back to the basics of your name being, you know, your word is your bond and your name is all you got. And even in my own life, Mr. Ellison, there are a lot of doors that I was able to walk through or get through because of the strength of someone's name that I was connected to. Are you with me?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So I believe that that is a ancient, if I could use that word, an ancient understanding that we have to get back to as African-American individuals, that it is important that your name does not become mud. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of times we say that to the young ladies, hey, you have to carry yourself with distinction. You have to carry yourself with pride so your name won't become mud. But we ignore telling our young men that. We have to have the same level of aggression in telling our young men that your name should carry a lot of weight and not a lot of frustration.
Intelligence versus instinct.
Absolutely. Intelligence versus instinct. That's probably one of my favorite chapters of the book.
Okay.
We live in a world where, well, number one, that particular chapter is a great linkage in making decisions. I believe that we are the sum total of the decisions that we make. A lot of times we get frustrated where we are in life because of some of the poor decisions we've made. And we all make poor decisions from time to time, but it's a matter of reducing, not necessarily eradicating completely because we're human, but reducing the number of poor decisions that we make every day. So every day that I get up, I want to make one less poor decision that day. So because my decisions determine my destiny. So intelligence versus instinct. Basically, a lot of times in that chapter is trying to get the young men, the older men to understand that don't allow your emotions to drive your decisions. Many people have lost their lives in the street because they rely too heavily on their instincts versus the intelligent. And if you don't mind, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
So many of our young men, you know, end up getting shot in the streets because the famous word is, I was disrespected. You know, he disrespected me. So, you know, I'm a man. No one's going to disrespect me. And they end up either losing their lives or taking a life. So when you lean too much on your instinct, as opposed to really thinking this thing through, and I tell people all the time, one moment of disrespect and walking away from it is better than feeling that you're going to be respected and end up with 25 to 40 years behind bars being disrespected every day. You know, it's like really thinking this thing through instead of thinking in the moment. And a lot of our young people and older young people as well, sometimes we have become victims of thinking for right now and not thinking from, you know, thinking for down the road.
You know, when I grew up, teachers imparted a lot of information into me and a lot of wisdom. And one thing I often remember a teacher saying is that your attitude determines your altitude. So
absolutely.
So I want to ask you this. Chapter 10, six poisonous mm-hmm. personalities that will prevent progress.
Yes, sir.
Can we talk about that?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Six poisonous personalities that prevent progress. Again, it goes back to who you surround yourself with. Attitude is not developed in a vacuum, meaning that it's not developed just you sitting there looking at a wall. All of our attitudes, our belief systems, our convictions are shaped by the individuals in our circle of influence. So when you connect yourself with individuals who prioritize, let's say, education or academic achievement, then you have a healthy competitive drive that is inaugurated, so to speak, because you're hanging around people who want to have something out of life. But if you're kind of left to simmer in your own failures, or you know thinking about what's not going right in your life, it's very easy to lean towards having a poor attitude, not just about yourself, but about education, about your teachers, your mentors, the authority figures, and actually form a level of hostility towards these individuals. And there's a term when I did my doctoral studies on teacher expectations of African Americans and Caucasian Americans, that was a study done in 1970 by John Igbo. He was a sociologist from Cal Berkeley, and he coined a term called Pygmalion. And what Pygmalion means is that when you adapt somebody else's belief about yourself, and that becomes your belief, you know, and most times that is a negative belief. So we are, as human beings, we're more like computers than we want to give credit for. And whoever you surround yourself with, you're going to take on their belief system about yourself. So if you're hanging around underachievers, or you're hanging around people who dislike school or want to skip school or want to maybe even drop out of school, then 9 times out of 10, you could get pulled into that cycle of belief, and that would have a negative effect on your attitude. So when I was talking about the 6 poisonous personalities that prevent progress, we have to let young people know that God put you here to progress. You know, I always tell people all the time that whenever God gives you something, he never gives it to you in its finished state. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It does.
You know, it's just like, you know, we can drive in any neighborhood and you can see 2 homes right beside one another. And one home, the grass is immaculate. It has the pretty lines in it. It looks like a golf course. And then down the street, you know, that yard may be unkept. Rocks are in the yard. Birds in the yard, you know, all kind of rodents are in the yard,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same soil. So how come one house yard looks like a showpiece and the other house looks like a train wreck? Well, it's because one person had to put, you know, work in to cultivate that yard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same way with our attitudes. If you hang around people that infect your attitudes, you'll never be able to, you know, have the gift that God placed in all of us to blossom.
How does one know that they were created to lead?
Well, that's a great question. Again, I have to go back to what the Word of God says. You know, when God created man, he created man in his image and in his likeness. So everything starts with God. And I am a Christian, so I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. So in the Bible, it teaches that God created all things, but his chief creation was mankind, because when he created mankind, he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. So when I look at that living soul, means that we're constantly progressing, we're constantly trying to get better, and we have some of the God-like attributes, so to speak, to create. And a leader creates opportunities for his or her followers. A leader creates doorways where there are no doorways. A leader is progressive in their thinking. If there's an obstacle, they're going to try to find a way to get around the obstacle. So I think we have to start there, you know, that by virtue of you breathing God's air, you were created to lead in a positive, legal manner.
7 types of women to avoid. That's interesting.
Oh wow. Well, a lot of people, they when they purchase the book, or when I've had several conversations with my supporters, and a lot of them go straight to that chapter. You know, I just had an opportunity to talk to so many men prior to writing this book, married men, single men, men who are going through a divorce, men who were remarried after a divorce, and just really getting wisdom and listening to, you know, different traps and pitfalls that they've gone through. And I was able to culminate a lot of that wisdom into this. And again, what I like about Legacy of Manhood, I call it the book of many voices. When you read the book, you hear the voice of a father. You hear the voice of a coach. You hear a voice of a counselor. You also hear a voice of a mentor that's going to tell it to you like it is. And I think a lot of the mistakes, particularly in relationships, a lot of men make, they've never taken the time to look beyond someone's beautiful skin or physical frame. And as men, we are sight oriented, but we also have to develop and cultivate our level of insight when it comes to relationships. And we could avoid a lot of pitfalls if we just take the time to, and that's not an exhaustive list. You know, it's a lot more than seven, just like there are seven men to avoid for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely need to, it goes beyond the birds and the bees conversation. It's basically, it can really protect young men and men, older men for that matter, from making some poor choices in relationships.
It seems like, and you say why we as males go crazy over females, it seems like it's more of a physical attraction. And once that physical attraction wears off, it seems like, okay, who's next? How can something like that be avoided? Or what would you say to a young man who, as a young man, he's thinking, the world says, sow my oats.
Right. That's a great question. And Legacy of Manhood has a lot of answers in the book. But I would definitely, you know, tell the young man, you start with the result in mind, not the process. And I always tell people, particularly young men that are single, you know, talk to people who have been married for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and don't just look at the individuals in your generation, because it's very easy to hear what your homeboys are saying or your partners are saying that have the same myopic vision that you have or short-sightedness that you have. But it's good to just look at people who are happily married, who have withstood the test of time, because they were young just like you, you know, to give them wisdom on, you know, not making the, you know, the poor choices. But I'm going to be honest with you, you know, it is very, we live in a day and age with Instagram, Facebook, you know, everything is kind of like thrown in your face. And again, this is another reason why this book was written, because young men of today have so much more temptation than I had. I graduated from high school over 20 years ago. And the level of temptation that these young men have today is off the charts. So it's just a matter of them connecting with people who are connected to wisdom and just, you know, building accountability circles where, hey, if you feel a certain way, you have someone to talk to. But Legacy provides that. It provides an invisible voice to talk to the young man, almost like, you know, it's almost like a mirror where that young man can express his feelings and read the literature that's found in Legacy of Manhood to make those, hopefully make great decisions.
Where can one pick up Legacy of a Manhood? A book like this needs to be in all school libraries.
that'd be great, and that's definitely my that's my intent in the future. Legacy of Manhood can be found on Amazon.com. It could be found on BarnesandNobles.com. And for anyone who wants to friend me on Facebook, I could be inboxed, and I can definitely, you know, get a copy, autographed copy, in your hand for Legacy of Manhood.
Well, Dr. Ricks, I've got copy in my hand, my autographed copy in my hand now, and I treasure this book. And, you know, sometimes when I get books that I really like and I want to, you know, give it to a friend and say, hey, I need read this. It's interesting.
Absolutely.
This is a book that I'm scared to give to a friend because I may not get it back.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. Again, it's a timely book. For a price of a pizza, you can change your life. You know,
wow.
And I really believe that this particular book is exactly what it says it is. It's a legacy. And a legacy is something that's designed. It's like a antique. It's designed to be preserved. It's designed to be passed down. And it's designed to be duplicated. So, like I said, I'm just, you know, hoping and praying that people will, you know, get to know this book and support me and purchase the book. And, it's not about the $15. It's about changing the course of history in these young males' lives.
It's our guest, Dr. Ellie Ricks, motivational minister, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, author. List goes on and on. Dr. Ricks, it has been
a
pleasure. And may God continue to bless you, your ministry, and anything that you put your hands on. Thank you for joining us inside of the Gospel Spotlight.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Ellie Ricks, Legacy of a Manhood. It's a book you need to pick up, give to a friend, give to a son, even a daughter, kids, adults. This is a book everyone should pick up. Dr. Ricks, it's been a pleasure. Thank you once again.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Ellis.